The Bible presents a pattern of teaching that reveals Jehovah's qualities. Are you letting your life be molded in harmony with this pattern? Please give your attention to a four-part symposium entitled Be Obedient from the Heart to the Pattern of Teaching. Each speaker will introduce the one to follow. Brother Bill Christensen will present the first talk. His theme is Be Obedient from the Heart to the Pattern of Teaching. Let your word yes mean yes. Brother Christensen.
Can you imagine being in a situation where you had to cross a minefield in order to escape to safety? Terrifying to think about. But then you find out that there's someone, an expert, who knows a safe path, who's willing to guide you. So you would gratefully follow his steps. Now, why would you be so obedient and so conscientious about walking carefully behind this person? Well, it's obvious. Your life is involved. It means your survival. Now, in a similar way, Jehovah asks that we be obedient to his word. So why is it important to be obedient? The same reason. Our survival, our life is involved. Now back to the minefield. You're following this person because he knows the way through to safety. Now, would you need to love that person in order to obey him? Obviously not. But you need to be obedient because you want to survive. But you don't need to love him. Now, Jehovah wants our obedience, but he also wants our love. In fact, he wants loving obedience. Our theme scripture for this symposium is Romans chapter 6, verse 17. I invite you to turn there to Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. And as we read this verse, we will see that he wants more than just obedience, but he wants obedience from the heart. Let's read it. But thanks to God that although you were once the slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that pattern of teaching to which you were handed over. Notice how in the verse it says you were once slaves of sin. So realistically, before we became baptized disciples of Jesus, we were slaves to sin, basically just following our own heart, being rebellious if we wished, following really our own standards. But as the verse begins, still looking at verse 17, it says, but thanks to God that you were handed over. Yes, what were we handed over to? Well, thankfully, we were handed over to a pattern of teaching that helps us to see how to live in obedience to Jehovah, in imitation of Jehovah. It says also that we were obedient from the heart. So it shows our heart is involved. So it's more than just being obedient, but obedient along with love. So that expression, pattern of teaching, comes from a word that originally means a mold or a form. So a form is something that holds something in until it sets up, like concrete. If you didn't have forms and someone poured your sidewalks, they just dribble all over your front yard. It needs a form to keep them in place until they settle, or the foundation of any building. It needs a form until it sets up. And so we have been given a form of what Jehovah wants of us, a pattern of teaching. In fact, as Paul wrote to the Romans, these things were written for our instruction. Yeah, they were written for our instruction so we know how to be obedient to God and to be a person that God approves. Now, in the Garden of Eden, it appears as if Jehovah spoke directly to his earthly children, to Adam and Eve. But he doesn't speak directly to us. We'd find that pretty strange if someone suggested that Jehovah spoke directly to me. But rather, no, he speaks to us individually through His Word, through these meetings, through our circuit assembly here, through the publications that we get through the Faithful Slave. So Jehovah wants us to be obedient to a pattern from the heart. So in this symposium, there's going to be four parts, and each part will develop a different aspect of that pattern. The first part, the part that we're in right now, is how we need to speak the truth. The second part will show us that we need to be forgiving in order to follow that pattern. Thirdly, we need to be holy, so our conduct in every aspect of life will be affected. And fourthly, we need to be courageous. So we look forward to the development of each one of those portions. Well, the first part, let your word yes mean yes. So why is that important? Well, it has to do with being honest. Does Jehovah set the pattern here? Well, He's referred to as the God of truth many times in the scriptures. A scripture we read this morning showed that when Jehovah was describing Himself to Moses, one thing He said about Himself was that He was abundant in loving kindness, but also abundant in truth. And perhaps you remember a verse in the book of Hebrews that says, it's pretty difficult for God to lie. It actually says, it is impossible for God to lie. So He is the God of truth. Now Jesus, in Matthew 5:37, please turn there, said words that are familiar to us. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37. Jesus said, just let your word yes mean yes, your no, no. For what goes beyond these is from the wicked one. In other words, just keep your word. Good advice for every one of us here in following the example of Jehovah and being obedient also to the words of His Son. So the most important yes that we can ever say is a yes that most of us have already said, and that is yes to Jehovah in that you have agreed to be a baptized, dedicated disciple. And you said yes at least three times in order to become a baptized Christian. When you first wanted to be a publisher, you might remember meeting with a couple of elders, and one of the questions they asked you is, do you really want to be one of Jehovah's Witnesses? And you said, yes, I do. Later, when we were going over the questions for baptism, one of the elders would have asked us, have you made a prayer to Jehovah, dedicating yourself to Him? And you said, yes. And the third time, we just had that experience for us at lunchtime today, the question is asked, have you dedicated yourself and repented of your sins to become one of Jehovah's Witnesses? And you said yes. So, brothers, that is a yes that we really want to mean yes. Stay devoted to Jehovah as one of His dedicated, baptized disciples. But we say yes in other areas of life as well. One of our brothers this morning talked about marriage, and you say, I do or I will. Yes, I will stay faithful to you, my marriage mate. In a business contract, we set out the circumstances and we stick with them, even if it seems like it, we wish we hadn't, we stick with it. Or if we've accepted an invitation to someone's home at a certain time, a certain day, we come. We don't take a different invitation that might come up later that might seem more desirable. Or if we tell a return visit, we will be there at a certain time and date. Yes, we will come, if at all possible. Now, James, who was Jesus' brother, he also said in his letter, let your yes mean yes. And this is James 5 and 12. I'm not asking you to look it up, but when he said, just let your yes mean yes, he said, so that you do not become liable to judgment. So if we say yes, but actually mean no, then we're liable to judgment, a negative judgment from Jehovah, because our word is not our bond. An expression we used to hear many years ago, not so much anymore, but it should still be true with Jehovah's Witnesses. So this is a clear indication of how Jehovah feels about our oral promises, our commitments that we make. So if we want to be close to Jehovah, it's critical that we're consistent about speaking the truth. If we're not trustworthy, we really don't qualify to be one of his witnesses. So now I invite you to look at a scene that is going to provide us with some practical assistance on how we can let our yes mean yes.
Hey, Paula.
Hello.
So I know this is a bit short notice, but I'm wondering if you might be able to take my Bible study with Nicole on Saturday afternoon. I got called into work, unfortunately.
Yes, for sure. I can take care of it.
Awesome. I really appreciate it. So it's Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Perfect.
Hey, Paula. I'm having some trouble with my taxes, and I heard you're good at accounting. Do you think you can come over on Saturday and help me? Maybe at 3?
Yeah, I'd be happy to help you.
Okay, thank you so much, Paula. See you Saturday at 3.
See you.
Hi, Paula. We're having a fuel for supper on Saturday night, and I wondered if you'd like to come for supper and then listen to some experiences from Israel. Are you free?
Oh, yes, I'm free. And what could I bring?
Well, how about that really great dessert that you make? Is it tiramisu that you make?
Yes, I'll bring it for sure.
That would be great. So 5 o'clock?
Yeah, see you then.
Okay, bye, Paula.
This is looking up like a very busy Saturday, isn't it? So what do you think? Can her yes really mean yes? Is she in a position to fulfill all of these commitments, perhaps others that she has as well? Let's watch her when she's back at home.
Oh no, what just happened? I think I promised way too much. I really need to be modest and remember that my yes should mean yes. I just made plans with all those sisters, but I already made arrangements to work with Sister Jones in public witnessing on Saturday. And now I don't know how I'm going to care for my return visits that same morning. And I promised them I would be there. And then I have my personal study. And, oh yeah, my assignment for the midweek meeting. I didn't even remember that. Oh, and I also promised Brother and Sister Johnson that I would help paint at their house. Oh, and I forgot my laundry day. I want to be helpful, but agreeing to do all these things when I am not able to do them isn't being truthful. I better straighten this out and adjust how I handle these things.
Well, what did we learn from this? Well, sometimes we see these commercials on don't do it this way, do it this way. Well, we just had an example of the way not to do it. So we could learn not to be hasty when we promise to do something. And secondly, think before you commit yourself. They really go together. So don't be hasty. Think before you commit yourself. Let's turn back to Matthew 5 and verse 37, where Jesus said, just let your yes mean yes. Notice that he says at the end, therefore, what goes beyond these is from the wicked one. So if our yes doesn't mean yes, it actually means no. Where is this coming from? Well, it's not coming from Jehovah. That's not the pattern, but rather the pattern is the father of the lie. So we need to be known as individuals who really take their promises seriously. And this would include even things that don't seem like major promises, not like our baptism or our marriage, but other things. If we say yes, we should certainly live up to it. Jesus had something to say that we could apply to that too. It's found in Luke chapter 16. So Luke 16, verse 10. We're familiar with those words. The person faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And the person unrighteous in what is least is unrighteous also in much. So when you show yourself honest, even with a small promise, you're very likely to be honest with those big promises too. So we want to keep those words in mind. And just because we're honest doesn't mean we have to tell everyone everything we know about everything. Jesus, on one occasion, didn't answer questions where he could have answered because he could see the questioner was not sincere. So he just kept quiet. And we can keep quiet too, if its circumstances tell us we should. So if we say yes, we should do everything in our power to actually keep that commitment. In Psalm 15, verse 4, I'd like you to turn there. Psalm 15, verse 4, this whole psalm is, it's only five verses, but it describes the type of people Jehovah would have as a guest in his tent, figuratively speaking. In verse 4, the latter part of verse 4 has a really interesting statement. The type of person Jehovah would like could be described like this: he does not go back on his promise, even when it is bad for him. So you promised to help your friend move an 800-pound piano on Saturday afternoon, but now someone's invited you to go golfing. Well, you know what you want to do, but what will you do? We need to be honest. And maybe you can go golfing after, and you probably would score much better doing the right thing. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37, we'll invite you to turn there. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. We'll read these words. I tell you that men will render an account on judgment day for every unprofitable saying that they speak. For by your words you will be declared righteous, and by your words you will be condemned. That's powerful words that he spoke to us there. So by your words you'll be proved to be righteous, or by your words you will be condemned. So we want to show heartfelt obedience to Jehovah's pattern. We want to let our yes mean yes in all aspects of life.